when I took my seat, His Holiness Ratanavaja Swami asked me if I had had any realizations in my little excursion. And as a matter of fact, I did. I don't know how many of you have used the facilities here, but when I was using them, I heard the beautiful kirtan that Vaisheshika Prabhu was leading here in the temple room. And the sound system was excellent. Yeah, I'm always very concerned about the sound systems because Shabda, our whole process, is sound. And it was so good. And I thought, wow, even here, Vaisheshika Prabhu's protecting me. I can't fall into, I mean, of all places, that's the place to fall into the bodily concept of life. But even there, Vaisheshika Prabhu was protecting me. The holy name was protecting me. And it was very clean. And in India, especially in Bombay, I would meet very big people in the material world. And one of them was D.P. Mandalia. He was like the prime minister of the Birla Empire. And he was the most highly paid employee in the world. Just ahead of Robert McNamara, who was the, I guess, something in General Motors. And he told me that the first thing he did when he went to any Birla factory was to walk into the workers' bathroom. And he said, by seeing how clean the workers' bathroom was, he could understand how the whole management was going on. So far, so good. We're off to a good start. I think in the appreciation of Vaisheshika Prabhu and the members of the community, one of the themes has been balance, you know, the holistic approach, and specifically the balance between the Bhagavat Marg and Panchatriki Vidhi. This is a very important principle in Krishna consciousness. Thinking of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we are in the 175th year of his birth. So it's a special year for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And how Srila Prabhupada took up his instructions and through Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in the emblem of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's institution, which he formed to further the mission of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one half is Bhagavat Vidhi and the other
is
Mantra Treatise. Mm. The two halves together make a whole. And I thought to read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which very beautifully and sweetly explains the wonders of both of those processes and how they come together in temples. For the sake of time, I'll just read the verse once myself. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service. Text 35. Pasyanti te me ruchiranyam basanta prasanna patra runulochanani rupani divyani varapradani sakam vacham sprihaniyam badanti. O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form with eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent, and they also talk favorably with me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mayavadis and atheists accept the forms of the deities in the temple of the Lord as idols, but devotees do not worship idols. They directly worship the personality of Godhead in his Archa incarnation. It's a long purport, and I would suggest everyone should read it and study it. Then the next verse, 36, upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Now, we've also been hearing about the importance of a community, of individuals and a community that exemplify the teachings or wisdom in the books. In fact, of course, Srila Prabhupada said different things in different contexts, but in one conversation, a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada asked a disciple, why is our movement successful? Why is our movement spreading? Which, unlike other movements. And in that context, the disciple said, because of your books. And Srila Prabhupada said, there are so many books, so many institutions have books. And then Srila Prabhupada answered his own question and he said, because my disciples live according to the books. That's what distinguishes, Prabhupada, that's what distinguishes. Of course, if you're living according to his books, it means that you're reading his books. But the critical point is living according to the books. And what we just read about the devotees losing all other consciousness, I have seen with these deities in the other temple. During the kirtan is like so ecstatic. And I was watching like the devotees coming forward and just looking at Shishirada Madha and Mohana. Really, they were losing all other consciousness. I know, because they definitely weren't conscious of me, which is good. I was glad. And they were, that's liberation. You're like, you're absorbed in Krishna, in Radha and Krishna. And you forget everything else. So that's the deity worship side, and now the book side. Here the word vilas is very important. Vilas refers to the activities or pastimes of the Lord. It is a prescribed duty in temple worship that not only should one visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some other literature which is regularly recited in the temple. It is the system in Vrindavan that in every temple there is recitation of the Shastras. Even devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, their minds may remain always absorbed in the thought of the Lord, his form, his activities, and his transcendental nature. This state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated stage. So, these books have really informed every detail of our lives, of our whole parampara, and specifically our lives. And we are so indebted to Srila Prabhupada for writing these books. Srila Prabhupada would take rest at about 10 at night, sleep maybe 2 hours, and get up at midnight and translate these books for us. And even in his last days in Vrindavan, when he was so weak that he could not, hardly move or speak, he was just lying on his bed in Vrindavan. But even then he was translating. You can see the pictures. He's lying on his bed, almost no flesh on his body. And Pradyumna Prabhu's holding the microphone, and very softly, Srila Prabhupada just translates Srimad Bhagavatam. And his consciousness, I mean, theoretically, we could say, of course, he's a pure devotee, but his consciousness was perfectly clear. The purports that he dictated to, and I'm so happy here to see the picture of Lord Brahma offering respects to little Krishna, because that pastime was the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated, and such perfect consciousness. Those purports are extraordinary. Mm. And some people might think, oh well, Srila Prabhupada, he was reading the commentaries of the previous acharyas, and he quoted so many books, so many verses in his purports. He got the verses from the commentaries of the previous acharyas. And that could be true, that's our system. But when Srila Prabhupada was translating at the end, he didn't have any books to refer to. And his purports are full of references to verses from other scriptures. So it was all inside of him. And when we think of the trouble that he took to translate these books, and of course publish them with help and get them distributed, we must want to absorb that knowledge. And it's not just knowledge, it's love. That was Prabhupada's love for us that he was getting up after 2 hours and translating, hardly sleeping. There was a sort of humorous incident that took place in Prabhupada's last months in Juhu. We had a member of parliament was arranging for a meeting between Srila Prabhupada and the newly elected Prime Minister of India, Morarji Desai. And we were and Morarji Desai was visiting Bombay. He had an apartment on Marine Drive in Bombay. And we had a friend who was a member of parliament arranging the meeting. And Srila Prabhupada said that he would meet the Prime Minister, but that the Prime Minister should come to Juhu to meet him. Srila Prabhupada said, I'm not proud that he has to come to me, I won't go to him. But unless the Prime Minister had the proper attitude of respect, the meeting would be useless. Mm. And he felt that if the Prime Minister took the trouble and made the trip to Juhu to meet him, it would show that he had the proper attitude. So we were waiting for the Member of Parliament to confirm it, and like finally the phone call came at 10, at almost 11 o'clock at night. I was waiting for the call. And he said that the Prime Minister was very busy, schedule was very tight, he would meet Prabhupada, but only at his place. So I went up to Srila Prabhupada's new quarters in the tower at Juhu, and I didn't know what to do with it, so I just sort of snuck around to the far door, and Srila Prabhupada was awake at the table with his dictaphone translating. And he saw me and he motioned, so I came. And he said that I was always praying to Krishna to be able to control my tongue. But now, in this condition, I can't eat. And I can't sleep. And mating and defending, there's no question. So, I guess I'm liberated. And he was, and by this process, we can also become liberated. I shouldn't say become, I think you all are already liberated. Mm. We just have to stay close together, following Vaisheshika Prabhu and all the senior devotees who are guiding us, and we will all go back home, back to Godhead together. But we're not going home, back to Godhead. We're already there. And that was my last realization when I was using the facility. Srila Prabhupada said that this material world is like a stool house. You should do your business and get out. But listening to Vaisheshika Prabhu's beautiful kirtan, I thought, it doesn't matter whether I'm there or here. It's the same. So we're already there. We're already back to Godhead. We're already liberated by Srila Prabhupada's and our Parampara's grace. Hare Krishna.